time as you are presenting or asked to speak. When addressing the board, please announce your full name first and be sure to speak clearly. Attendees who have joined via teleconference, please do not place your phone on hold or leave your audio unattended. If you need to leave the meeting, please hang up or disconnect your meeting web link and then dial back or click the web posted on the agenda to rejoin the teleconference. Meeting logistics. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting in person or by dialing the conference line or clicking the web link post listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments@innovationhigh.org. The public may also provide comments through the public comment section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please see the accommodations notice. And as required by state law, SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter school's website. Opening items. I will call this meeting of Orange County Workforce Innovation High School regular board meeting, operated by Western Education Corporation, a California nonprofit public benefit corporation, for Tuesday, March 7, 2023, at 12 noon to order. Roll call and establishment of quorum. Michael Adams is here. Claudette Beck?
Here.
Frank Lucasa?
Here.
And Dr. David Mathieu?
Here.
All are present and accounted for. We do have a quorum for today's meeting. We'll now do the Pledge of Allegiance. I'll ask Dr. Rathgate to please lead us.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, David. We'll now move on to staff introductions. Corporate officers.
Thank you, President Adams. Good morning, and good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Good morning. Sorry.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, board. This is Jerry Vincent, corporate officer, and good afternoon to everyone who is in attendance.
Thank you. School staff.
Julie Fada, area superintendent.
Thank you, Julie.
Liliana Child, school principal.
Thank you, Liliana.
Val Nguyen, state and federal programs coordinator.
Thank you, Val. Anyone else? School legal counsel.
Bill Thompson, legal counsel.
Thank you, Bill. And advisors who are supporting agenda items we're presenting today.
Hello, board. This is Geeta Asharifi, CFO with LLAC.
Thank you, Geeta.
And hi, this is Michelle Lopez, counsel with LLAC.
Thank you, Michelle. And any other staff wish to introduce themselves at this point in time? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E. At this time, I'd like a motion to approve the agenda for the March 7, 2023 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. On a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Frank Lucasa, are there any other discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa? Frank?
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
That passes with four yes votes. Item F. And your motion to approve the minutes of the February 2nd, 2023 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you.
Frank Lucasa, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Frank Lucasa. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
That passes with four yes votes. Item two, consent agenda. All items listed on the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote, unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. There are two items on the consent agenda. Number one, the board will be asked to approve the 2023-2024 parent student handbook. Number two, the board will be asked to approve the 2023-2024 school calendar. Do any of the board members want to pull either of the consent agenda items for further discussion at this time? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve consent agenda items one and two.
Claudia Beck, I'll make a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Frank Bukowski, I'll second.
Thank you. And that was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Frank Bukowski. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Evans is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Bukowski?
Aye.
And Dr. David Radfield?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. The time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes unless a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public in attendance who would like to make comment? Are there any members of the public on the conference line who would like to make comment? Or any written comments submitted to the board prior to the start of the meeting?
Hi, this is Shelley Sam here from the Charter Affairs team to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
Thank you, Shelley. Moving on to item 4, school reports and information. Item A, area superintendent update. Julie Barra.
Yes, good afternoon, President Adams and board members Beck, Bukowski, and Rathaber. I'm excited to share with the Orange County Workforce Innovation High School's update. With our education block grant, we were able to provide a region-wide professional development of professional learning communities presented by Solution Tree to kick off the new year. The training provided a reframing and refocus on learning as both students and adult priority. The POC framework provided 3 pillars and 4 essential questions to guide our work with students. The 3 pillars were focus on student learning, 2nd, culture of collaboration, and 3rd, result orientation. The 4 guiding questions were, what do we want students to learn? How do we know if they learned it? How do we support the learning for the students who struggle? And how do we deepen learning for students who get it? We also attended the 1st-ever Principal Summit, a day event bringing together all principals throughout Learn for Life Network to share, learn, and build both individual and collective capacity to serve our schools. Principals were able to attend robust sessions on the dynamics of leadership, harnessing key performance indicators, learning to become warm demanders, inclusive leadership, and more. Our keynote speaker, Julian Reed, shared insights on burnout and how important it is to care of ourselves so we can serve others. We will also be having our oversight with the Orange County Department of Education tomorrow. We look forward to the visit. I'll now pass it to our principal, Liliana Child.
Thank you, Julie, and hello, board members. As part of our Title I and LCAP Educational Partner Engagement Goals, OCI held multiple meetings to help families keep informed and obtain direct input on our educational program, including Parent Advisory Committee, English Learner Advisory Committee, and Title I annual meetings. Important topics such as our testing and assessment, English learner reclassification criteria, Title I program evaluation, and more were covered. We recently held an awards night for our families with food and recognitions to celebrate the hard work and exemplary accomplishments of our students. We also recognize one of our exceptional parents for her dedication and support of our school. We have the privilege of hosting 3 Anaheim City representatives, City Manager Jim Vanderpool, and City Council members Carlos Leon and Natalie Meeks for a site visit. The representatives toured our school site and saw our learning floor in action and had a chance to speak to administrators and students to find out about our unique educational program and how we serve students with our personalized learning model. Students were able to speak to the representatives and practice engaging in dialogue with local government officials as part of our universal workforce development support. As part of our continued efforts to provide diverse enrichment opportunities for students to get connected and develop leadership skills, we formed a student council. In February, student council members prepared candygrams and created a promotional poster. As a spotlight of the learning that occurs each day, our students in our SGI science class participate in scientific inquiry and experimentation by performing DNA extractions on strawberries during a lab as part of a lesson on genetics and biological traits. As part of our HOPE program and to support our pregnant and parenting students, staff collected toys and infant goods from baby to baby and toys for tots to give out during our winter gift drive. As an individual testimony of the power of our HOPE program, one of our HOPE students could not afford her bus route to get to school because she did not have a collapsible stroller. And thanks to our HOPE program, we were able to acquire this for her and her child. Thanks for our LCAP goal number one, actions 4 and 5, for student activities to support graduation and increase learning efforts. We were able to provide diverse educational opportunities with students attending field trips to the Griffith Observatory and Fullerton Community College. At Griffith Observatory, students were able to experience the Science of Life exhibit and uncover the origins of life in our universe. At Fullerton Community College, students toured the campus and learned about the college offerings, such as the extended opportunity programs and services. Winter graduation saw 3 students graduate, with 2 planning to attend Orange Coast College and 1 planning to attend Santiago Canyon College. We also have 2 students getting ready to graduate who received acceptance to 4-year universities, CSU Los Angeles and CSU Fullerton. We are so proud of our students and upcoming graduates. Our counselors also attended CSU Dominguez Hill Spring Counselors Luncheon, as well as a virtual training on youth mental health first aid to further build our capacity to support students in crisis with mental health or substance. As part of our LCAP goal number 2 for college and career readiness, we are currently offering dual enrollment courses at Rio Hondo, Santa Ana, and Cerritos Colleges. For fall dual enrollment, 2 students completed courses. For spring dual enrollment, we have 5 students currently signed up. Classes offered include computer literacy, Spanish, Japanese, child development, and career life planning and personal exploration. With the new Arts, Music, and Instructional Materials Grant, students are able to participate in an Arts, Media, Entertainment course where they learn the fundamentals of film and video production, media literacy, script writing, and more using state-of-the-art cameras, iPads, and laptops. Finally, for Riola, we currently have 26 students receiving case Spanish services with our partner, Ready, Set, OC. We continue to host monthly enrollment workshops, and our community liaison is working to introduce monthly workforce development workshops and activities such as financial literacy, resume writing, and mock interviews. At this time, I'd like to ask the board if they have any questions or comments regarding our school updates.
Board. Hearing none, thank you. Is that the end of your report, Julie?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Legislative update, Bill Thompson.
Well, thank you. I have the opportunity to Michelle Lopez addresses a little bit today. If each of you have received the 2022 new laws, I think they're 20 pages of it. I'm sure you went through and read every single one. This is something that Lifelong Learning Administration does for our school, which is very helpful, because every year in the legislature they come up with some new changes and things, and those pertain to educating our students. So, Michelle, would you kind of go over this and highlight it for them?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bill. Good afternoon, everybody. It comes in your board packet beginning on page 98 as a summary of new laws affecting charter schools that were passed in the 2022 legislative session. As you can see, the governor signed many bills designed to assist schools and students coming out of the pandemic. A few highlights include Assembly Bill 748, which requires schools to create and display posters that share resources regarding student mental health. Assembly Bill 185, which increased state funding to schools. And a requirement from Assembly Bill 58 for schools to update their suicide prevention policies and training materials to incorporate best practices identified by the CDE. The legislature also focused on firearm safety and threats of homicide in school through 2 bills, Assembly Bill 452 and Senate Bill 906. I'd also like to bring your attention 3 bills that affect the board directly. Assembly Bills 2158 and 2449, and Senate Bill 1100. Assembly Bill 2158, is an ethics training requirement that now extends to school governing board members. This is the same training requirement that has been in effect since 2006 for officials in cities, counties, and special districts. All board members who are seated as of January 1st, 2025 must receive the required training by January 1st, 2026, and then retrain at least once every 2 years thereafter. Second, Assembly Bill 2449 offers additional teleconferencing options under the Brown Act for board members' personal emergencies or for just cause. There are very specific definitions for these exceptions and limitations of use that are described in the bill. Finally, Senate Bill 1100 provides the board president additional authority for dealing with members of the public who are disruptive at a board meeting. There are many additional laws included in your board packet summary for your review at your leisure. This concludes my legislative update report, and Bill and I are here to address any questions or comments you might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item C, finance update.
Oh, I'm sorry, President, I had a few things.
Okay, go ahead, Bill. Sorry.
My part of this is we normally be presented by Bob Ross. He is the Chief External Affairs Officer at LAC. He has a team of people that keeps track of the things that Michelle just addressed, the matters of the legislature. It's 30 new members. This is because of term limits, it's because of new elections, and things of that nature. So 30 new people are out there. Like Bob Morales and his team endeavor to do is make sure that they meet staff members, especially that they get appointments with the legislators, and so that we can tell our story. What type of students are we going to help? How do we help? We're not a threat to certain other interests. That's a good job. One of the things that he does especially is he is really trying to work with local people as well throughout the network. And so, for example, they met with the city council manager and a couple of the city council members, and then showing the video, showing the introducing the sign, and that sort of thing. So these efforts are important. The laws that you keep seeing, for example, come up. Well, for example, on February 17th, that was the deadline for new laws. We did pretty good last year. We had no big NHR legislation last year. This year, it looks pretty good right now, too. The thing that is cautioning about those, there are things called spot bills. You probably heard that term before. Somebody can put in a bill and just say, you know, I think that alcohol bill bar needs to be fixed. And that could be all set. But then later, the end of that bill or somebody else comes in and things are entirely different meetings. So Bob, again, and his team, they stay close to those things. Michelle Lopez, CEO Jeff Brown, and I are on a call every Monday morning weekly. And it's a good thing because each week, sometimes, not too much has changed, nothing's gone. But occasionally, that way, something comes up, we get heads up on it, we can start moving ahead and doing some things about it. Again, something that would be difficult for each charter school to have to do itself. So this is part of the services provided by LLAC to tell our story. One other thing that's they do quite well is they work with what I call our trade associations. California Charter School Association and the A Plus organization and the Charter School Development Corporation are great groups that have interests similar to ours, that concerned about school choice, concerned about homeschool, concerned about independent study, based charter. So these three organizations all have different things that they help. And being CCSA, especially, the reason I bring that up is we have seen the table at those organizations, and we stay close to them. Bob Morales is who spends some time with them. And, week after next, if we have an opportunity to actually be in Sacramento, we've already got some things lined up with the staffers, the legislators, and with all of these people that we just talked about, our trade friends that will help us. Once in a while, they will come up with an idea. So they'll say, hey, we ought to do this for charter schools. That's why it's important for us to have the representation here, because a bill that may look good at first might not be particularly good to the independent study of the leaders right here in Orange County Workforce Innovation High School. So that way, we get some influence to kind of make sure that things are going good for everybody. So they it's an important function that they have for the tourists and the unit. They will keep us advised of big changes and developments. And just as Michelle keeps us, but actually got inked and it's a law now, make sure we implement those things. So the legislative team keep an eye out for us on what might be coming down the pipe. So any questions about any of that?
Yeah, Bill, I just want to know, is there a maximum on how many of those funds put in, or could I, they just put in as many as they want?
Yeah, every new legislator probably has. I mean, the new legislators especially want their name on the bill. So occasionally, you know, you'll see more of them, I think, because of that. A lot of them just, you know, pass up. It never happens. the one thing about the legislature, they're not subject to the ballot like we are. So we have to be very vigilant because things can happen, you know, kind of almost fast. I didn't mention this, but the budget is a big thing too, because we have the governor's budget, and Gita will be addressing the financial plan. That too is a moving target because then the legislature gets to jump in. And so we need to put it where we stand. Again, Bob and his team are very conscious of these things as well, because there will be, you know, some jockeying back and forth for programs and funds too. Mm-hmm. So that's a good question. Yeah, they may have their own rules about how many people put it on, but all I know is I've seen
a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item C, finance update. Gita Shreve.
Thank you, President Adams and the full board. So I'd like to bring your attention to your PDF packet on page 119. You can follow me on the screen. This document shows both Hommy line of credit. Hommy is the bank for the school, and on the bottom section shows the LLAC promissory note agreement. So this document is just for your information to access, to know what's the most up-to-date line of credit for the school and the availability. So this document is updated as of January 31st, 2023. It shows Orange County Workforce Innovation line of credit with Hommy, which is $500,000, and that amount has not been touched. It hasn't been withdrawn. So this document shows always what the balance is, if any funds have been drawn from the line of credit. It also reflects the covenant that we do calculate for the school to ensure that the school meets the requirements. The bank has continuously approved if the school needs to draw from the line of credit, so there's no issue with that. The expiration date on the line of credit is September 3rd, 2023. And the only change really on the Hommy line of credit is the interest rate. So the last update I provided to the board, it was at 7.5%. It has since increased to 8.25%. And as you all know, the line of credit moves with prime rate. So as prime rate goes up, that line of credit goes, interest rate goes higher. It's unfortunate. It's just where we are today with the interest rates and the economy, so we'll watch it pretty closely. And then on the bottom section, you'll see LLAC promissory note. The school also has a line of credit or promissory note approved with a fixed interest rate of 4% with LLAC. So that's also available for the school to borrow. So every time the school needs to borrow, we obviously look at the lowest interest rate where they can tap into, and always look at what's out there outside these two options. So this is just for your information. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you so much.
You may need to say that again.
Julie?
Sorry?
We're on to the California Dashboard Report.
Oh, my apologies. We didn't hear you. Yes, thank you. So the California School Dash Report can be found on page 121, 124 of your board packet. The California School Dash is part of the California's Comprehensive Accountability System for schools, districts, and county offices of education and for its performance and progress in 13 different areas. Each area reflects the priorities of California's local control funding formula and metrics required by the federal Every Student Succeeds Act. The COVID-19 pandemic affected education services and student learning worldwide, as you know. In California, the pandemic also interrupted the statewide data collection, assessment, and calendarly system. The 22 dashboard that you see today is a restart of California's accountability system. Since the 22 dashboard is a restart, the performance of the school established a new starting point through which future improvements can be gauged. The 22 dashboard reflects data from the 21-22 school year when the educational system was recovering from a variety of challenges related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The data confirms the difficult evidence to the system in terms of attendance and engagement. On OSHA, the dashboard displays the following status levels. In English language arts and mathematics, the school has scored in a very low category. Results from these metrics are calculated solely using the 11th grade testing results. The school also uses various other means to measure student achievement in these subjects, such as NWA assessments. The school has implemented additional tutoring, a small group instruction courses, and professional development to help students further achieve in these areas. OCI's learning progress indicator is categorized as low. This is identified area of growth for our school, and we are engaged in a year-long study and strategy implementation and have worked closely with our multilingual and assessment departments to reset and align our student course placement to help ensure increased students in this area. We reallocated personnel increase and honed in our professional learning focus that we are equipping staff with targeted training resources to support our English learners. We are excited to see how this program restructure impacts EL progress. Recently, the federal government altered the reporting of the graduation rate for DAS schools from 1 year cohort to 1 year a four-year cohort. Consequently, OC's grad rate is currently showing as 40.5%. As you know, schools often enroll students who come to us over behind in their studies and are already adults. In fact, this is one of the purposes of our school and the most important way to serve our community. As such, we find the measuring success with our senior population in a one-year grad cohort is much more relevant to our program. This means we are measuring students who start school year as a senior and graduate within the year. We are pleased to report that a one-year graduation rate is 96%. We are hopeful that California will once again include the one-year grad cohort metric for DAS schools, as we truly believe it's a more relevant metric. And finally, we are again very proud of the suspension rate, which remains in a very low category with no suspensions. We contribute the success to our culture of respect and focus on one-on-one relationships with our students. This concludes my presentation on the California dashboard, and at this time I'd like to open up for any questions or comments from the board.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
How many students, this is Dave Redkin, how many students are we talking about when you're talking very low? If you got three students, you're at 100%, you're at 50, 60%, or you're at 0%, right? But if you have 3,000, it makes a difference. So how many students are we talking about in these reports?
So, Dr. Rathke, it depends on what you're speaking to. So if you're speaking to the 11th grade CAS data, it depends on the amount of students are enrolled in juniors, strictly juniors, and then CAS if you have a certain amount. So I would say I can get you the exact number. It varies year to year as we're going into this coming
session. Just ballpark. Are we talking 100? Are we talking?
No. I would say about 52. We have about 11th graders, about 52.
11th grade. Say it again, please.
In 11th grade alone, we have around 52 students.
Okay. Thank you. It makes a difference in statistics, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E, current vendor list, Julie Parra.
Yes. The vendor list is located on pages 126 and 127 in your board packet. This is a listing of all the school's vendors with a brief description of services. As you can see, this list includes vendors who provide varying services, including professional development, technology, healthcare benefits, and more. I reviewed the list for accuracy and am presenting it to the board as an informational item for your review. Please review the list of potential conflicts of interest. If you have any questions, please reach out to me, legal counsel, or Mr. Marino.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item F, the 2022-2023 board meeting dates. That is in your packet on page 129. Our next two meetings are Tuesday, April 18th at 12 noon at this location, and Tuesday, June 6th at 12 noon at this location. So please mark your calendars appropriately. Item 5, action items. Item A, the board will be asked to approve the charter school's renewal application and recertification for Dashboard Alternative School Status. Julie Byron.
Yes, Orange County Workforce Innovation High School is in the process of applying for recertification under the Dashboard Alternative School Status Program. To qualify as a DAS school, the California Department of Education requires charter schools to complete an application and recertify its DAS status every 3 years. If approved, DAS schools will be held accountable for meeting modified measurements for certain accountability indicators when appropriate for alternative schools as reflected in the California School Dashboard. To be eligible for DAS, charter schools must have an unduplicated count of 70%, at least 70% of the total enrollment of high-risk students and the same approval from the charter school board, certifying the school meets the DAS criteria as a board agenda and notification to the authorizing governing board. The charter school met these requirements as received DAS recertification in spring 2020, which included approval by the Orange County Workforce Innovation High School Governing Board on February 27, 2020, and a notification to the Orange County Department of Education and the Orange County Board of Education on May 4, 2020. The charter school has met the threshold for qualifying as a DAS recertification of 86.4%. Therefore, we are recommending with the board approval the submission of the school's renewal application for DAS recertification today.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Just a quick question on the high-level transiency. Does a student coming to our school, does that count as one of the two schools?
It's the previous school that they've attended.
So they had a previous school plus ours. It means there will only be more than two.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the board?
Yes, hi, Michael. Julie, the metrics are based on 2020, right? Do those have to be renewed at a certain point?
So it's every 3 years?
It's every 3 years.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5A?
I'll make a motion to approve 5A.
Thank you.
Frank Picasso, I'll second.
Thank you. So that was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Frank Picasso. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathbeaver?
Aye.
Passes with 4 yes votes. Item B, the board will be asked to approve the revised charter school accounting manual. Dita Shrethi.
Thank you, President Adams. So I'd like to bring your attention to, if you can watch the screen, and in your packet, pages 136 to 141, you can see the red lines for the revisions recommended to the board for the accounting manual for the school. So throughout the document, there's always a grammatical or spelling corrections, which we make and recommend, and those don't impact the content. But there are two items I'd like to bring to the board's attention as a recommendation. The first one is an additional policy that we recommend the board adopt, and that is for board member travel reimbursement. So that policy is, you have the narrative, and I just wanted to recommend to the board that since that was not included, we like to have that as a policy within the accounting manual to follow. And then on page 106, there was a section that was inserted talking about coronavirus pandemic and the signature requirements for people being remote and using electronic signature. So that policy was temporary, and it said that it will end when pandemic ends. So we've been notified that the pandemic is officially ending on March 16th. So since that date is approaching, this policy is really beneficial for the school because there are still people working remote or, hybrid, and it's really critical to have these signatures available instantly. And then we have, since this policy was put in place, put a lot of controls in place to ensure that there are audit trails, which to our team in finance, actually, this it works much better because it does have electronic audit trail for signatures. So we want to make sure that this policy stands and it doesn't end. So we removed the coronavirus pandemic condition, and we like to recommend to the board to keep this policy indefinite. Obviously, if there are signatures and original signatures available, we will reach out and get original signatures. But if the signatories are not available, we like to continue having this policy in place. So those are the two recommendations. And if there are any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, they hear a motion to approve action 5B.
On it back, I'll make a motion to approve 5B.
Thank you.
Frank Lucasa, I'll second.
Thank you. And that was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Frank Lucasa. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lucasa.
Aye.
Dr. David Rathbeamer.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item C, the board will be asked to approve the second interim report and revised budget for the 2022-2023 school year. Gita Shrieky.
Thank you, board. So I'd like to go over the second interim report for the school. This document you can see on the screen is Form 62 by California Department of Education. It's for fiscal year 22-23. It's the second financial report of the fiscal year, which shows the financial conditions of the school after the first 7 months of the operations. And that's July 1, 2022 through January 31st, 2023. The report includes financial information and ADA projections. The financial sections include original budget in column A, a second revision to the budget proposed for approval in column B, actuals to date in column C, and projected totals in column D that match the revised budget, as they both share the same data and analysis in their development. The financial section also provides projection of the school reserves and its components at the year end. We're going to start with the average daily attendance. I'm going to go over some highlights throughout the report. If you look at the bottom half of the Form A, it shows the ADA used to develop the original school budget and the updated projection of ADA based on the current enrollment trends, which is used to prepare the second revision to the budget and projected year-end totals. The school originally budgeted a P2 ADA of 243, and it is currently projecting a funding ADA of 226, a decrease of 17 ADA that has a negative effect on funding sources that are based on current fiscal year ADA. The first revision to the budget was based on projected decrease of 8 ADA, so the second budget revision shows slightly lower revenue levels on ADA based on funding compared to the prior report. Now we're going to go back to the beginning of the Form 62, going over revenues, and then I'll go over the expenditures for the first 7 months of the operation. On the second budget revision, most revenue changes included in the prior revision presented in the first interim remain in place. They include the COLA of 13.26% for the LCFF sources, same funding rates for SPED, lottery, and mandated block grant, and the addition of two state multi-year grants, learning recovery emergency block grant, as well as the arts and music block grant. In this revision, additional adjustments in the revenue comes primarily from changes in the projected ADA and a reduction of approximately 33% in the arts and music block grant. We're going to go over the revenue items under the revenue. As you see on the top, we're starting with LCFF sources. It shows a projected revenue of $3.5 million. The slight decrease over original budget comes from an increase in COLA mentioned before that almost offsets the decrease in projected funding ADA. Under the federal revenue, it shows a projected revenue of $112,000. The decrease from $173,000 to $112,000 from a reduction of the utilization of the federal ELO funding during this year. The unused funds, because it's a federal funding of this grant, will be available, and it will be spent and recognized in as a revenue in the future years. Other state revenue shows a significant increase from $310,000 to $1 million. That comes primarily from the recognition of the two restricted one-time multi-year state grants that I just mentioned. The new projection includes the reduction of the funding from Arts and Music Block Grant, which was the 33% of that funding, which I mentioned earlier. On the local revenue, it shows an increase of $10,000 that comes from an interest and refund. Now we're going to go over reviewing some of the expenses. On that side, the school is projecting that a total expenditure of $4.7 million, showing an increase of $642,000 compared to the original budget. It is consistent with the increase in expenditures projected in the first interim report. Small spending categories show an increase due to the implementation of services related to the one-time restricted grants. Salaries and benefits show a small increase of $122,000 or 4%. This increase is due to an increase in teachers and classified instructional salaries. Projected totals for purchases increased from $135,000 to $407,000. That's due to a noticeable increase in instructional supplies and materials and a small increase in equipment spending. Projected operating expenses increased from $1.2 million to $1.5 million, and it includes increase in professional services and communication spending and a small decrease in facilities and training spending. After the current projection of revenue and expenditures, the school is budgeting an excess revenue of $72,000. The net position section in the first page, item F, shows a beginning net position of $994,000 with a projected excess revenue of $72,000. The school will end up fiscal year 22-23 with a projected net position of $1 million. Of this total reserve, $561,000 will be restricted and will be spent in the following fiscal years according to the restricted grant plan. The projected ending unrestricted net position of $505,000 will be equal to 10% of the total annual expenditures. This concludes my report. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to go over it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5C?
Senator Fanta, I'll make a motion to approve 5C.
Thank you.
Frank Ricasso, I'll second.
Thank you. So that was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Frank Ricasso. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Mukasa.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathbib.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item D, the board will be asked to approve using the auditing firm of Wilkinson, Hadley & King & Company, LLP, for the 2022-2023 audit. Dita
Shrevey. Thank you, President Adams. So as you see on the screen, this is an agreement from Wilkinson, Hadley, King & Company, LLP. They are an existing CPA firm that does the third-party audit for the school. And they are also an approved auditor under California Department of Education. Only the approved auditors can audit LEAs, which they are. Every year, California Department of Education provides guidelines for the auditors for the scope of work and what they need to audit. So basically, this document reflects the scope of work of the audit. And then on page 6, you can see the fees that they charge, which is $12,000 for the annual audit. And we do recommend to continue using Wilkinson, Hadley & King for the for the 22-23 audit period. Thank you.
How long have we been using these?
It's more than 6 years. I can find the exact period that we've been using them, but they change audit partners, boards, so, and they also do have peer reviews. So as you see, it's been only, I think this is going to be 22-23, the third year for Kevin to be the partner to review and sign off on the audited statement, Kevin Sproul, CPA. Prior to that, it was Brian Hatley. So they rotate, and that's allowable under CDE guidelines.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5D.
On event, I'll make a motion to approve 5D.
Thank you.
Frank Ricasso, I'll second.
Thank you. So that was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Frank Ricasso. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Ricasso.
Aye.
Dr. David Rathke.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item E. The board will be asked to approve the board resolution approving board stipends, increasing the board member stipend from $450 to $500 for each board member in attendance at a board meeting. Mr. Thompson.
Thank you. In your board package, you will find the board resolution stating an increase in board member stipend from $450 per board meeting attending to $500 per board meeting attendance. The increased stipend takes into consideration the additional board member responsibilities incurred over the past few years. But in addition to the amount of time needed for board member preparation and participation in other events required of your service as a board member. We also are well aware of the effects of inflation. We recognize and appreciate your service and diligence during the past few years, which resulted in your participation in monthly virtual board meetings, and we recognize additional time and effort required by each of you as transition back to the in-person meeting. As such, we feel that the increase of $50 per board meeting and for a two-month stipend of $500 is reasonable, and I recommend that the board adopt this resolution.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Mr. Ratcher, sir, what kind of impact? I mean, we're talking $2,500 less than throughout the year. Does that have any impact on the school's budget? They're trying to do. I guess that would be a question for Dieter or Julie. Some extra money needed. Do you have a comment on that?
What is the question specifically again?
If we raise our stipend, we're talking $2,400 a year.
Right.
I just want to be sure there's no impact to your school's budget and what they're trying
no,
to
do. No, it won't. Yeah, no. As far as the budget, it's very minimal, so there's no impact. Okay. I mean, I can't say no impact, but it's very minimal, so it's not going to impact.
That's the question.
Right.
Actually, the board member portion of our budget is actually going to go down because we won't be meeting. We're only meeting every month.
Right, and keep in mind, inflation has gone up as well as the school is getting a COLA, right, across the board for inflation. So it's an adjustment to all the expenses across the board.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the board? If not, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5E.
But if I'll make a motion to approve 5E.
Frank Lucasso, second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Frank Lucasso. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lucasso.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathbaber.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item 6, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, President Adams. I was, of course, delighted to have this opportunity to thank our area superintendent to our report on professional learning and how that program is going to be working and advancing the opportunities for our students, too. So I think that's very important. Also, our DESH report, DESH report is a little complicated for us at this particular period of time because the federals are saying we have to have a 4-year graduation rate rather than our basis was on 1 year. And the reason for that is our students don't come for 4 years. Some of them come for 5 months. Some of them come for 2 years and some do come for a total period.
where in the comprehensive school you can say, okay, I've got 1,000 kids that could be, you know, came in as freshmen and 800 graduated or 600 graduated 4 years later, 90% of trajectory. Ours cannot work that way. So we are still providing a one-year report in order to enable us to show that we are during that 1 year from the, I guess, with the juniors to the end, we would have 94% or 93%. So we're trying to keep our dads going as far as education is concerned. I did have the opportunity to attend the Principal Summit in San Diego, and it was really interesting how many principals we had and giving them the opportunity to work together, meeting each other in different culture areas, because if you think Fresno versus San Diego, although our programs are similar, the actual culture of the cities are different. So that also gave them a chance to react with each other and grow. I think that's accurate. Principal report. Yeah, I'm always interested in principal reports, not only for what they have to tell us about Title I or the LCAP programs and all of that. That is going to be a normal report that we receive. We enjoy it. But however, we're talking about reaching out to the community. When you have some government officials actually attending your programs and your sites, it helps everything grow because they get to know who we are. As our attorney recently said, 30 new members joining the California Assembly and Senate, they don't know us. And if they can come out and visit us, they know us, and they have a completely different approach as far as we're concerned. So I appreciate that. And the whole program, for those of you who are familiar with the whole program, that enables young moms with their little kids to actually come to school, to the site for them. I get a kick out of it. I get over that kind of thing, like the great grandpa watching for 10 kids. field trips. What's better than socializing these young people actually? With our program, we tend to think that they're not going to be socialized. Yes, they are. Because they do meet each other. They go on these field trips. It's exciting. And CTE programs that we always do enable them to look at futures beyond just a complete college education. They may need to work in the WIOA program. The WIOA program enables us to have our students stay later so that they can learn a trade and come out. I could go on all day, but I know some of the members will hear me talk a little bit, so that's
interesting. Thank you. Ms. Vincent.
Thank you, President Adams. This is Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer. I don't know that there's anything left to be said. I concur with Mr. Brown, but I would like to, just on a lighter note, make it quick. Hey, Lily, if your students did DNA on chocolate and me, I think they'd find that we're related. just saying. And then, Val, although you didn't present this time, I want you to know that your work is greatly appreciated. Your name has, and your work has come to my attention on more than one occasion, and I'm very grateful for your professionalism and the work that you're doing. So thank you, sir. And Julie?
Thank you so much for the kind words.
Oh, of course. And Julie, thank you for your time. Thank you, Board. That's it for me.
Thank you. Any board members have observations or comments at this time?
I'll just say that, you know, Julie and everyone else, you guys work very hard, and we really do appreciate what you have to say and what the information you give us. So thank you so much.
Thank you. The other board member?
Yes, Frank Lucas. I just wanted to echo everybody's sentiments. Thank you, everyone, for the effort you put in. I know there's a lot of work that goes behind these reports, so we really appreciate that.
Thank you. Any other board member? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 7, closed session. At this time, we'd like to request a motion to adjourn the open public board meeting to go into closed session. The public employee performance evaluation under government code section 54957B1, title area superintendent.
I think I'll make a motion to go into closed session.
Thank you.
Frank Picasso, second.
Thank you. That was the motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Frank Picasso. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lucasa.
Frank Lucasa.
And Dr. David Rathbun.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. We are now going into closed session.
No action is taken under the closed session by the board. And we exited the closed session back to the open public board meeting on a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Frank Lucasa, and on a 4-0 vote. Item 8, closing items. Our next regular board meeting date is April 18, 2023 at 12 noon. And I will hear a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Claudette Beck, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
Frank Lucasa, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Frank Lucasa. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lucasa.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathbun.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Good meeting.